Well, let's turn first of all to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to quote the Lord's Prayer and do a part of that again tonight, today. Today's just going to be devoted to give us this day, our daily bread. Talk a little this morning and some more tonight about it. How many are enjoying the study of prayer? Is it changing your life? I'm hearing so many good reports. Having people come to me and say, you know, I'm not having any problems praying an hour. In fact, I'm having problems keeping it under an hour. You know, my prayer time is running out, is what they're saying. I'm having people come to me and say, you know, this has really changed the way I pray. I can have my mind wander, but understanding that the Lord's Prayer is an outline, I can immediately come back to the point where my mind wandered at and begin my prayer again. And sometimes that's not your mind wandering. Sometimes that's the Holy Spirit guiding you into praying about something else. While you're in that thought realm, while you're thinking there. I have enjoyed it so much. It's just revolutionizing my life. Hallowing the name of Father and coming before Him in that dimension and reminding myself of all that He's done for me. How He has just moved upon my life. He chose me. He chose me by His great foreknowledge from the foundations of the world. We've seen that He's given us His Spirit. The Spirit of God we have. That's God did that for us. God gave us His Spirit. He sent His Son. God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only begotten Son. And He gave us Jesus. And He gave us the sprinkling of the blood, 1 Peter says, upon our lives. It washes us from sin. And when the Father comes, He's not looking at our sin. He's looking for the blood. And I feel good about it. No, I remind myself of that every day. And the accuser of the brethren is cast down first and foremost. Why? Because of the blood. All right? And I can enter into the holy place because of the blood. I can have all God has for me. And I remind myself of these things. I thank You for His grace and that saved me. And it rules in my life. And I thank Him. I thank Him for His peace that passes understanding. I just move in hallowing the name of the Lord for His great mercy. I thank Him that He caused me to be born again. I thank Him that He protects my life. I thank Him that I have an inheritance laid up for me in heaven that's imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away. I thank Him for that. And I hallow the name of Father because that's what Father does for me. Now, the Lordship of Jesus Christ rules and reigns in my life. But Father gave me Jesus. And Father gave me to Jesus. And I'm in Him, and He's in me. And Father did that. And when I enter into prayer, I just go through that, and I just remind myself. And it's like a kickoff at a football game, Rod. It gets that whole thing started, you know. You can't start the game until the ball's kicked. And it's like that. It's like entering into His gates. With thanksgiving and coming before His courts with praise and worship. It's just jumping in there, and it's something that just kicks it off. Then we go into warfare. We talked about that last week. Come, kingdom of God. Be done, will of God. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. And I want to do that this morning before we start. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray to the east, the west, the north, and the south. We're going to say, just like we did Sunday night, with one voice, give up. All right? I'll lead you in the prayer. You join with me. And then when I say, we say with one voice, you yell with me, give up, the people of God. The Lord Jesus told us in Matthew 9 to pray to the Lord of the harvest. He said to beseech the Lord of the harvest, because the harvest is white. And to send forth the laborers into the harvest field. He said to beseech the Lord of the harvest to do that. That's why some of you are here today. That's why we're having visitors. It's because this church has begun to beseech the Lord of the harvest for you to come. For God to plant you someplace where you can be made into a disciple. And we're learning the power of prayer. We're seeing things starting to happen. So we want to pray to the east according to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to pray to the east, the west, the north, and the south. We're going to pray to principalities and powers. I was watching a movie last night about Jesus. Jesus come over Jerusalem. And you know what He did over Jerusalem? He stops and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have." Remember that passage of Scripture? What's he talking to? Talking to a city. You know, Jesus talked to cities. He talked to fig trees. He talked to mountains. He said, "Say to that mountain." Can we say to these cities to the east of us, "Give up people, the people of God"? Can we say to the cities to the west of us? I'm not going to call them all by name. I'm just going to say it. We're going to come against the principalities and the powers to the east, principalities and powers to the west, to the north, and to the south. And I want you to turn with me. Turn right now and face the east. And you get into this thing. Prayer is militant. Prayer is military. And we're saying, we give up the people of God. We're saying, come, kingdom of God. Father God, right now we beseech you as the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest field. We come against the gates of hell to the east of us, Father God, and we just bind them right now. And you said that whatever that we bound on heaven will be bound on earth, and we bind the gates of hell right now to the east. And we ask you to loose your ministering spirit to go forth and to minister to the east. We ask you to minister to the principalities and the powers to the east, to the cities and to the provinces and to the east. And we ask you, Lord God, with one voice, we say, give up! In Jesus' name, we say, give up! In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask you to draw them now, Father God, and plant them in churches where they can be made into disciples. And those that belong here, Father God, we ask you to send them and plant them in the name of Jesus to the west. Father God, we beseech you in the name of Jesus to send forth your laborers into the harvest fields to the west. We ask you, Linwood, and those provinces and those cities to the west of us, Father God, that you'll send forth your laborers forth. Father, we bind the powers and principalities to the west. We bind them in Jesus' name. We bind the gates of hell. We bring them down in the name of Jesus, Father. And we say with one voice, as we ask you to send forth your laborers, we say with one voice, give up! We say with one voice, give up the people of God, Father God, those that are called by your name, those that are created for your glory, those that you have formed and you have made, those that have eyes to see but are blind, and those that have ears to hear but are deaf. Father God, we ask you to draw them and plant them in churches, Father God, where they can be made into disciples. And those that belong here, Father God, we ask you to send them forth and bring them forth and plant them, Father God, and make them into disciples in the name of Jesus to the north. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to against the principalities and the powers to the north of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we stand forth. And we come against the gates of hell. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And we declare to you, gates of hell to the north, you will give up the people of God. You will give up the people of God. And Father God, we beseech you as the Lord of the harvest to send forth your laborers into the harvest field. And we say with one voice, give up the people of God. With one voice, give up the people of God. And Father God, we loose those people now. We ask you to draw them and plant them in churches where they can be made into disciples. And those that belong here, Father God, those that are called by your name, those that are created for your glory, those that you have formed and you have made, those, Father God, that have eyes to see but are blind and ears to hear but are deaf, Father God, we ask you to draw them and plant them in the name of Jesus. And to the south. Father God, we beseech you as the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers to the south of us. Father, to these areas to the south of us, we beseech you, Lord. And we ask you to send forth as we bind the gates of hell, as we come against the provinces, as we come against the forces, as we come against the principalities and the powers to the south of us, Father God. We ask you to bind those powers and those principalities. And we ask you to go forth and minister to your people. Go forth and draw your people, Lord God. Draw them into the churches. Draw them, Father God, into places where they can be planted. Draw them, Father God, where they can be made into disciples. Father God, not made religious, but made disciples in the name of Jesus. And with one voice we say, give up the people of God. With one voice we say, give up the people of God. Now, Father God, draw them and plant them into churches. Father God, those that belong to us, those that belong here in our fellowship, into our body, I beseech you as the Lord of the harvest to draw them and plant them. Let this be a place of living waters, Father God, where they can be planted, where they can produce fruit in its season, where the leaf won't wither, Father God, and where everything that they touch may prosper. Everything they touch may prosper. In Jesus' name we ask you, Lord of the harvest, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I was sharing with Judy last week after we had ministered this and we'd done it Sunday night. There was a tremendous amount of energy released here Sunday night. There was just a tremendous amount of energy. And I am assured that principalities and powers, east, west, north, and south of here, never experienced what they experienced last Sunday night. I promise you. I promise you they haven't. And I don't believe they know what to do with us. They don't know what to do with us. Now, they're going to try to do some things with us. You understand that. You understand that? That we have to be a primary target because we're coming against the gates of hell. Enemies don't like that. Enemies don't like you messing with them. They want you just to be religious. Won't you just sit here, not bother anything, just do religious things, go through the jargons, but never change your life, never be righteous, never be holy, never come into the kingdom of God. Just be religious. Amen? And I'm going to show you in just a minute. You can be a child of God, but not walk in the covenants of God. We're going to see that in just a second. Not walk in the blessings of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Are you there? Let's quote Matthew 6 as we prepare. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about give us this day our daily bread. And the reasoning I'm starting here in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27, is that Paul depicts the believer in three athletic postures: as a runner, as a boxer, and as a wrestler. And this passage will depict two of those. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, let's read it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may what? Get the prize, obtain, or win. How should we run? To win. Run to win. Paul says, if you're going to do it, do it. Run to win. And then he tells us here five ways that we run to win. Verse 25. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Does King James say cast away? What is it? Cast away. Paul says here, he says, this thing is like a race. You're running, and it's not a 100-yard dash, it's an endurance. Hebrews chapter 12, I think it is verse 1, says, let us run with patience, or let us run an endurance race. Let us run a race that's of endurance. Let us run a race. Here he puts it, he says, when you run in such a way that you win. Now, how many of us want to win in our prayer? Don't you? I mean, we don't want to pray and it not be effectual, do we? It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When I pray, I want it to avail something. And when I pray, give us this day our daily bread, or when I pray, thy kingdom come, whatever it is that I'm praying about or whoever that I'm praying for, I want it to accomplish what I'm praying for. And what I sense here is Paul wants to tell us, in every aspect of our Christian life, this is how you do it. This is how you win. Now, how many of us specifically would like to win in our finances? Let me see some hands here now. I should hit everybody. All right. You see, winning in finances is so important to the Christian. And as I develop this, you'll see more and more and more where I'm coming from. The first thing that he says here is I exercise self-control. Who must we control? Self. You know, I have the hardest time with self. He gives me a lot worse time than anybody else. I have to exercise self-control. The first law of successful finances is what? Self-control. Hello. And we all know this, don't we? How easy is it to pull out that little plastic money and go buy whatever I want, not exercising self-control? Is that easy? Has it been made easy for us to sign our name on a line and get ourselves in all kinds of problems? Why? Because we didn't exercise the first principle, which is what? Self-control. We've got to learn to have our finances in order. The first law of financial prosperity is self-control. You don't need it, don't buy it. Or don't charge it, which is usually what we do. Number one, self-control. The second thing he says is run with an aim. We got to have a vision. If your finances aren't where they need to be, you need to have a vision to get them where they should be. Right? If you don't have a vision to getting yourself out of financial bondages, you'll never get out of financial bondages. You got to set dates. You got to have an aim. You got to have a goal. You got to have the tape, the ribbon that you're going to run, and you're going to break that ribbon as you cross that line. There has to be a goal. There has to be an aim if you're going to run this race and win. When that runner takes off, what's he got his eyes on? The finish line. You see? And when you're running this race in financial things, you got to have a goal. You got to have a finish line. You got to have a place that you can cross to get across that goal. You got to have an aim. Run with an aim. The third thing he says is, I make my punches count. Do you realize that the enemy is warring with you and your finances? Have we figured that out yet? He doesn't want you to have money. Because if you have money, you might bless the kingdom of God. He wants you to have so much debt that you'll say, I can't pay my tithes this week. That's right. That's the truth. You can't afford not to. But what the enemy wants you to know and wants to say to you is, you don't have enough money to pay your tithes this week. Just skip it. I'll pay half of it. How much of it is the Lord's? He doesn't want you to. And you got to understand, you got to make punches count. You got to put your money where it counts. And the Bible tells me to seek first the kingdom of God. Punch first what? The devil. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's the first thing I have got to learn. I've got to learn, first of all, self-control. Then I've got to learn, I've got to run with a vision. And thirdly, I've got to understand that I have got to make my punches count. I've got to put my money where it counts. I've got to establish priorities in my life. Do we understand that God can't bless us if we're not giving? The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. What have you got to do first? Give. The Bible says, you shall reap in due season if you what? Faint not. We got to sow to reap. You got to sow before you're going to reap in due season. You got to be able to learn that you got to put your punches where they count. He says, I don't box the air. Fourth thing, he says, I buffet my body. Now, the word buffet there means to subdue. He says, I make it my slave. King James Bible says, I put my body in subjection. You know that good finances requires training? That's what Paul's talking about here. He says, I make my body train. I make my body get up and run. I make my body get up and do the athletic maneuvers that I have to do. I make my body do this thing. We have to train ourselves financially. And if you've never been trained financially, I talk to people all the time that just don't know how to do their finances. They've never had their mamas and daddies may have been in a mess financially all their life. Nobody ever taught them anything, and they just don't know. They just don't know. It takes training. You got to buffet this thing. You got to subdue this thing. You got to put this thing into subjection. You got to submit it to somebody that'll help you with it. The fifth thing he says is the witness aspect. Paul was provoked. He says, I don't want to preach this thing and then not be able to do it, and so that I'll be made a castaway. What he's saying here is, I want people to see that I'm doing what I say do. Now, we've all are probably guilty of this. But from time to time, Christians will tell you how wonderful God is, how God has blessed them, how wonderful God's working in their lives, and what all God's doing for them. And come to find out, their finances are a total disaster area. Am I the only one that has been aware of this now, or is... Can anybody, would you raise your hand if you've ever seen a Christian tell you the good things of God, how wonderful God is, preach to you, tell you, oh boy, he just preached to you and got you up on cloud, and all of a sudden you find out that, man, his finances are a mess. Would you raise your hand if that's ever happened to you? Look at him. See, that's the witness aspect. Paul says, these people provoke me. I do a lot of what I do, Paul says, because people are watching me. I want you to understand that people watch your finances. One of the gods, maybe the God, because the love of money, King James Bible says, is the root. Other translation says is a root. But a god of the world is mammon, isn't it? Isn't it? If it's not the, it is a. And what the world looks at is money. And they come to you and you tell them how good God is. And you tell them how wonderful it is to be a Christian. And you don't have a penny in your pocket. What are you really telling them? Man, this thing, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be a Christian. Because the world's looking at money, isn't it? Are you with me now? Are we together? The world looks at things. The world looks at money. Paul says, I do this thing because of the witness. Because I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to lose it after I've preached it to you. Five things, Paul says. One, he exercises self-control. Number two, he runs with a name. Number three, he makes his punches count. Number four, he buffets his own body. He trains himself. And number five, he understands that people are watching. People are watching. Paul did certain things simply to maintain his witness. Christians damage their witnesses and their finances. Go into a place, we buy something, we charge something, we sign our name to it, time for it comes due to pay, and we don't have the money. We've told these people what church we go to. We told these people how good God's been to us. Time comes to pay for it, we don't have the money. What is that person thinking about all those good things that we said to him? Mod's back there shaking his head. That's right. See? Now then, I brought it this way. I'm going to bring to you a place now that I want you to see something. I want to ask you a question. Does the Lord God want you to win? Can we agree on that? Does the Lord God want you to win? Does He want you to prosper in your finances? That is one of the keyest things. You find people that are Christians that don't think they're supposed to have money. Now, I want to liken this before I leave this passage just to the aspect that prayer is a race. Bring this thought, and then I'm just going to dive in and to give us this day. Prayer is a race. In the Lord's Prayer, we run six laps. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation, and for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Now, does the enemy want you to win that race? And he'll try to stop you in either one of these. But I feel I've accomplished something when I've completed that race. It's a boxing match. Can we realize that praying is warfare? Praying is coming against principles. Come, kingdom of God. Be done, will of God. And we're warring against the principalities and powers. We're warring. Give us this day our daily bread. We're warring. And it's a boxing match. And does a boxing match have a limited number of rounds? This boxing match has six rounds. You get to punch the devil for six rounds. It's also a wrestling match with six rounds. So I want to liken this prayer, I want to liken the Lord's Prayer to the thought that we are entering into something that has a schedule. It has laps. It has rounds. It has something that we can do, and it's that you can win. You set your goal on the final amen. You set your goal, and when you've completed that prayer time, then you've accomplished something. You've won something. You've spent some time with Father, and you pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Does the enemy want us to have our daily provisions? No. But what does the Lord say to do about our daily provisions? Ask Him for it. When you pray, say. That's what I want you to see, that the Lord is telling us here to pray, give us this day our daily bread. I'll show you tonight, but in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, it says that when you've entered into your closet and prayed, that when you've entered into the closet and you have prayed, your Father will reward you. I'm going to show you tonight that being rewarded or being repaid of God is directly connected with prayer, Don. I won't look at that tonight. I'm not going to get into that right now. That's one of the things we'll be talking about tonight. I want us to understand that the Lord said, give us this day our daily bread was a part of our prayer life. That if we want God to give us something, we need to ask Him for it. Is that right? Now, let's take it a step further. How often should we pray, give us this day our daily bread? How often? Everybody, say it. Okay. You see, this is one of the things that Jody and I was talking about. You know, you don't wait till the end of the day before you go to bed and say, give us this day our daily bread, do you? So let's carry it one more step. When during the day should we pray, give us this day our daily bread? First thing, I would think, why go through half the day and then say, oh yeah, Father, give me this day. We need to make this a part of the first thing that we do every day. Now I'm carrying it someplace, and I'm going to make a statement here. Nearly all marital counseling is financially related. Nearly all marital counseling is financially related. Financial problems often equal marital problems. Now, the thing that she and I ends up arguing about the most, the kids can do something that don't bother us. The house can do something that doesn't. If things go, it doesn't bother us. But when we get to arguing the worst is when our financial things get messed up. And that's the way it is, isn't it? Biggest marital problems are somewhere rooted in financial problems. But yet you ask people, are you praying daily about your finances? And you know what they say? No. And people are in financial messes. If you need financial help, the first thing I can tell you to do is to begin your day praying for your finances. That's what Jesus said to do, wasn't it? Is that what the Lord said to do? Give us this day our daily bread. If you've got financial problems, let me give you a tip. Get up in the morning and start praying about them. Now, the reason we don't, and here's what I want to say this morning, is we're always looking for spiritual shortcuts. Aren't we? Pastor, will you pray for my finances? Now, nothing wrong with that. Now, let me make that clear, because some of you asked me to pray for your finances. Now, I don't mind praying for you for your finances. But whose responsibility is it to pray for your finances? Did you see that? But we want spiritual shortcuts. Somebody else pray for my finances. There's got to be. Maybe I can name it and claim it. There's got to be some other way to do it than pray. But what does Jesus say to do? Pray! Do you see that? Do you see that for Him giving us what we've asked for, we've got to ask Him. We've got to pray. Right. There's no spiritual shortcuts. There are none. Jesus said to pray about it. Now, do you suppose that this could be the reason, just maybe, that a lot of people are in financial problems because they're not praying daily about their finances? It's like being tempted. You know, we walk through, like, oh boy, the tests were so tough today. I was so tempted. Did you pray this morning, Father, lead us not into temptation? No. This means something. It's meaning something to me. This is becoming so real in my life. It's just financial problems, I believe, if I read the Bible correctly, can be answered if we'll begin to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and begin to walk in the things that God tells us to do. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll look at this passage more in depth tonight. I'm just going to read verses 18 through 20 right now. Where a man's treasure is, there his heart is. I'm messing with your heart right now, folks. I want you to know that. If you're getting a little upset or something, it's because I'm messing with your heart. The issues of life come out of the heart. I'm fooling with your heart. I'm fooling with your motivations. I'm touching some things in you now. Because where a man's treasure is, there his heart is. Verse 18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make what? Wealth. He's giving me power to make what? Wealth. Let's everybody say it on three. He's giving me power to make wealth. Now you say He's giving me power to make wealth. One, two, three. He's given me to make wealth. Has He given you power to make wealth? He's given you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And it shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you today, that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. This is a powerful, powerful chapter. I admonish you to read this chapter as you go home today. If you want to understand about getting wealth, read it right here. If you want to understand about the power of getting wealth, you can read it right here. Now, there's two points that I want to bring out here, and then we're done. I'm just going to give you an overview of what we're going to be talking about tonight. The first thing I want to point out here is, why does he say here that he will give us the power to get wealth? There's a reason. Why? So you can be rich and famous? So that you can drive fancy cars and live in fancy houses? Why? To confirm his covenant. You got to understand that. The reason that God makes anybody prosper is so that the kingdom of God can prosper. I want us to understand something today. We bring him no glory when we're behind on our bills. We're not confirming the covenant to anybody when we got to get telephone calls and duns. Am I right now? You love me, don't you? You see, the Lord wants to make us powerful and prosperous so that he can confirm his covenant. He's given us the power to get wealth so that he can confirm his covenant. He's not going to give you money if you're going to spend it on junk. Some people he can trust with money. Some people he can't. Their priorities are all a mess. They're not seeking first the kingdom of God or his righteousness. They're not seeking that. They wouldn't tithe if they had it. They wouldn't bless anybody. It becomes a god to them. And we're going to talk about that. The reason he gives people, certain people, power is because he knows he can trust them with it. And they'll pay their bills. And they won't go out and buy everything they want to buy. But he'll give them some and he'll see what they'll do with it. And if they do right, he'll give them some more. And if they do right with that, he'll give them some more. He gives you power to get wealth, to confirm his covenant. Amen. And the second thing is, what happens if you forget God here? What happens if you got a little money and you say, oh, I don't want to go to church today? What happens? You know, we got church and you want to go to work or something. What happens? I'm going to talk about the gods tonight that intervene in our finances. And he says, if you forget me, you'll perish. And it's important to understand, folks, seek you first the kingdom of God with our finances and all these things shall be added. Yeah. This is a good word. Yeah. We got to understand those two principles just this morning. When it happens that we forget God, and he's not my first priority, my finances are going down the tube. Now we're going to look at that in depth tonight. But I just want to tell you four things that I must know to be able to pray in God's provision. Now let me share real quickly. When I first got saved, I was in the faith movement. I preached Kenneth Hagin. I preached Kenneth Copeland. I would make you sick. You get tired of hearing me talk about the kingdom of God. You would really have gotten tired with me. You wouldn't be able to take an aspirin you come to church here. And that was okay for me. But what broke it to me was when I tried to put it on my family, and particularly my son. My son got poison ivy, but it was Thunderwood. And I tried to put that on him. You'll be all right. He liked to die. Honestly, he about died. Now that'll shake you up. You see, it's all right for me to put that stuff on me, but I can't put that stuff on anybody else. And what I'm trying to say to you here is that I went through times there in my faith, in my understanding of the principles of God and finances, that within a year's time, I was in debt up to here. In a year's time, we owe no man nothing. And it's because we prayed about it. We committed it to God. And I'm telling you, it can happen to you. I wasn't a preacher then. So you can't say, well, you're a preacher and it's supposed to happen to you. I wasn't a preacher then. I sat right where you're sitting. And I want you to know, God wants to give you the power to make wealth. And if you'll do what I'm going to tell you today, it'll work. Number one, you got to be in covenant with God. If you're not in covenant, your finances will never. And what I mean in covenant, let me show you real quick. We're going to talk about it more tonight. Look at verse 11. Beware lest you forget the Lord your God. By. Here's how you forget the Lord your God. Beware lest you forget the Lord thy God by not keeping His commandments and His ordinances and His statutes. When you're walking in covenant, when you're in covenant and walking in covenant, you're doing what God said to do. That's the law, that's the word, that's the commandment of the Lord, that's the ordinance, however that you want to phrase it, that's what you do. If you don't do those things and you forgot about Him, you've turned your eyes onto another God, and that's tonight. First thing you got to do is understand that you got to be in and walk in covenant. Say something real quickly. Were these people Jews? They were Jews, weren't they? They were in the people of God. But is it possible for them to not be blessed of God? Could it be possible for them to be people of God but not walk in covenant of God? See there? You can be saved, folks, and not get the blessings of God. But if you obey His commandments and you keep His ordinances and you do these things that He says to do in His Word, He'll bless you. He'll give you power to get well. That's number one. Number two, I've got to understand that it is God's will that I prosper. God doesn't want me poor. He doesn't want me behind on my bills. He doesn't want those bill collectors calling this preacher saying, "Hey, Pastor Young, your notes due down here at the bank. Suppose you could get us a little money." Isn't that bringing glory to His covenant? I got to understand that God wants to prosper me so that He can confirm His covenant. God wants me to have more than enough. My cup runneth over. He wants me to have more than enough. I got to understand, number two, that God desires that I prosper. Number three, I must be specific. Talk about this passage tonight. Probably look at it. Guy came to his neighbor's house in the middle of the night. It was midnight. He knocked on the door and said, "Oh, would you give me a couple of loaves?" How many knows what that passage says? How many loaves did he specifically ask for? Say three. So everybody on the table, thank you. Three. See, we don't know to be specific. He came and he says, "Can I have three loaves?" He's specific. We've got to understand that we need to come before Father and be specific of what our needs are. And number four, tenacious. Pastor Tebow, how often did that old lady come before that unjust judge? Till she got what she wanted, like a gnat. And he wasn't afraid of God or man. But you know what he finally did? He said, "Because you come to me and you bothered me, I'm going to do it." Not because she was his favorite gal. Four things. Number one, know that you got to be in covenant. Number two, know it's God's will for you to prosper. Number three, be specific in your praying. And number four, be tenacious. We're going to talk about those tonight in depth. God wants you to be a rich people. He wants you to be a covenant people that He can give you the power to make well. He wants you to be able to have such blessed lives and live in such blessed places and look so nice, be so blessed that the people of God will just want to the people of the world will want to gravitate to you and get what you've got. That's one thing you can say about the Jews, isn't it, Dr. Cash? They had money. They knew how to get money because they had the power to make wealth. Father God, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, teach us what this...